Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome. Give us a moment to get here. All right. So welcome everybody. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. I taught a class earlier today, a different cohort of sacred depths that I was telling them, and I'll tell all of you too. Whenever I go on vacation, for a couple of weeks, I always feel like a dork because obviously I'm very happy to be away and to be unplugged and all of that, but I always also really do miss all of the people that I get to be in circle with, like here in Sacred Depths, and I really did miss all of you. And I kind of the last couple of days have been counting back the days to be able to be together and in class together, and to learn together. And so I'm just so grateful for all of you. I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm so excited for the work that we're gonna do together today. We're starting a new module. We're starting our creating awareness module. But before we get there, I promised my team that I would spend a couple of minutes today talking about certification, because you're going to start to get some emails about certification. For those of you that are in the full mastery program, you have access and opportunity to apply for certification. Off the bat, like first, I'll just share, it's not required for success at all. For some people, it is a very, very, very helpful and valuable and effective tool for integrating the material more deeply, for moving more towards mastery, and for feeling more confident in your skills and in yourself. And then for other people, they're kind of like, eh. That's not really what I feel like I need. And so there's no right or wrong in terms of whether you decide to go for certification or not. And if you are not sure, after I share a little bit today, you can always speak to Caitlin or Inbal or even me, about it and see if it's right for you. But I do want to go through and share the different pieces of certification so that you know what's involved in it and what the requirements are and what you receive and all of that, so that you can make a decision if it's right for you. So, first, let me share about the requirements. I'll just go through them. They're all, by the way, listed also in your member center. They're all laid out, and so you can see all of them. But the requirements basically are, first of all, just completion of the training calls, the worksheets that are in your member center, and then we have a quiz for you to take, at the end of each module. This is You'll get a checklist to track your process and your progress so that you can stay organized. But we don't require proof of this. So if you mark off that you've done your worksheets and your quizzes, I know you're going to tell the truth. I trust you that you've done the worksheets and the quizzes, or that you've listened to a recording if you haven't been able to make the training live. So that's the first requirement. The second requirement for certification is documentation of at least 18 coaching partner hours. So at least 18 sessions that you've had with your coaching partner in this program. It doesn't have to be with your paired coaching partner if you also do hours. And at some point in the program, I will recommend and invite you to maybe do some sessions with different people in the program to, just get lots of different practice so that can go towards your 18 hours. Towards the end of the program, also Inbal will host a couple of drop-in coaching practice sessions. Those can count towards the 18 hours as well. So there's lots of different ways to get to the 18 hours. In addition to the coaching partner or coaching buddy hours, another requirement is another 18 hours of coaching or coaching sessions. So if your coaching sessions are 45 minutes, that counts as an hour. You can get these 18 coaching sessions or hours from paying clients, from practice clients, from testimonial clients, from other individuals in this program as well. Next requirement for certification is to do four coaching sessions with one of the Sacred Depths coaches on my team. So, as part of the certification process and part of the fee that you pay, you'll receive 4 45-minute coaching sessions with one of my coaches. And that's an opportunity. I love each of these things, but the reason why we include this and why it's so valuable is that you get 4 one-on-one coaching sessions with someone who is, master certified Sacred Depths coach. So you get to really experience all of it. You get to experience the principles, the skills, the techniques. You also have the opportunity to submit a mid-program recording of your coaching. You'll submit 30 to 35 minutes of a coaching session, and then the team will review the session for key competencies. And again, this is all laid out in the member center, but we're looking for some specific things in those coaching sessions. So, how you set the container, we're looking for energetics, we're looking for your listening skills, we're looking for your questioning skills, we're looking for your creating awareness skills, which we're going to start today, we're looking for visioning skills, for strategizing skills, and how you close the container. And the thing that is really awesome about this mid-program review is that you don't get a pass or fail. The team is really taking the time to give you feedback and note for you what's going really, really well, the places where there is mastery, as well as give some key places to lean into and to continue to work on. You will feel great when you receive the feedback. You will feel really good about your skills. You will also know where to work on to tighten up for your final submission, which happens after the program is done. After the program is done for certification, you'll submit another 30 to 35 minute recording, and the team is going to look for the same exact things. And that one is a pass fail. We kind of have like a points system for things. And it's important to say this. Not everybody passes the first time around, and that's a good thing. Because I know that if you're here, you're here because you want to be your best. And I don't want to say we're tough cookies, but I am a Virgo and I am detail oriented, and we're looking for the details for you so that you can be the best that you can be. So if you submit a final recording and you don't pass the first time, first of all, no, it doesn't mean that you're not an amazing coach. It just means that we have really high standards. We'll tell you exactly what to work on for the next submission. You'll know exactly what to do, and I guarantee you, you will pass the second time. I feel like I can make that pinky promise. So there's that final submission. And then I think, let me just make sure there's nothing that I'm missing here. The only other requirement for the certification is a final exam. It's a pass/fail. You're welcome to use all of your notes and your worksheets and all of the quizzes. There's a lot of quiz questions from each module in there as you know, for reference as you take the exam. So those are the requirements. And then once you get certified, in addition to having the confidence and feeling really good and having done all of the work, the other thing that I always love to do this, we will gather from you your photo and your a short bio, and if you have a website, a URL to your website, and we'll promote you both on our practitioner page, our certified practitioner page, as well as every now and again, I'll do some shout outs to my email community of our certified practitioners and promote that way as well. You have a while to decide if you want to go for certification. You've got until December 15th. So you've got some time to think about it. Sometimes it's better to decide earlier just so that you can start getting on top of the requirements, but some people wait till the last minute. We'll send reminder emails for you up through December 15th. It's $600 paid in full or 100 monthly payments, 6 monthly payments of $100. And that includes everything. It includes those 4 coaching sessions. It includes all of the review of the recordings. It includes marking the final exam and the review of all of the materials, all of that. Any questions that I can answer for you right now about certification? Heather is asking if we don't do the full certification, do we still qualify for completion certificates from our trainings? We've never given completion certificates, and you're not the first person that has asked, Heather. And I'm going to make a note because I do want to start giving completion certificates. I really love that idea, and I think it's finally time to put that into place. So, yes, you will get a completion certificate either way. Fan Shen.
Hi, Joanna. I'm just curious if you've had therapists who have done this in the past and if there was any differences that you noticed or just all the same.
It's a good question. We have had therapists that have gotten certified. I don't think, like, even if you bring some of your other skills into the recording, and this goes also for other types, healers that are in the program or whatever, you can bring your other skills in. We're almost like not going to pay attention to that. We're really going to look for the competencies that we've laid out and look for those.
Makes
So,
sense.
yeah, it's pretty seamless.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Carly Jo is asking if there are recertification processes required. That's a great question. We haven't, I can't promise that there never will be, but in all the years I haven't. Like, once you're certified. I feel like it will probably remain that way. Natalie's asking if there's a completion certificate. Yes, I will create a completion certificate for foundation as well. And you will, you there 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 is an acknowledgement, but I will create a certificate for sure. All right, if any questions come up, you can ask them in the Facebook group. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Caitlin, would be is the a great person to reach out to about it. We'll get all of your questions answered. Okay. So let me get my notes up. Hold on. All right. So as I said, we're starting our creating awareness module. This is gonna similar to listening and questioning. This is gonna be a three call module. We're gonna spend our call today and our next call learning different creating awareness techniques. And then in the call after that, we'll have a practicum call. And we'll practice our creating awareness skills. So let's start here. What is creating awareness and why is it so important? Creating awareness is the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves or their situation that they weren't previously able to acknowledge and accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation that will help them to become either more clear or more confident or more able or more open or whatever it is. Creating awareness is also a skill or a strategy that allows your client to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply, because it allows the both of you, both coach and client, to see your client more clearly and hold them in that clarity. Creating awareness can support clients to see their patterns, their achievements, their resources, their gaps, their unacknowledged pain, their obstacles, their inner answers, their talents, and their truest desires. Creating awareness can also sometimes help create a breakthrough in that moment. So take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. Somebody in your life, a practitioner, a friend, a colleague, a family member, has reflected something back to you. And in that instant of that reflection, you could just all of a sudden see so much. It was like a breakthrough moment. So I've got a lot of stories on this. I'll just share one of them. I love to share this story, and I think it illustrates it really well. Many, many years ago, when I first started my business, I had a very simple website, And a friend took some photos of me that I had up on that website. And at the time, a colleague of mine connected me to another potential colleague, to another woman who she thought we would just make a great match and be able to kind of have some partnership in our business, promote each other, cross-promote each other, whatever it was. And I connected via email with this person, and we got on the phone and we had a really nice conversation. It was a good match. Our mutual friend was right. Just really beautiful, deep conversation. We spoke about partnering in different ways. And at the very end of the conversation, she said to me, I just want you to know your energy that comes through when you speak, like that your energy that came through in this conversation is nothing like the energy that comes through in the photo on your website. It gave me a completely different impression of who you are. It looked like you were someone who was hiding. And she said it with a lot of love. And of course, when she said it, on an inward level, I recoiled in horror. She didn't say it in exactly some of the ways that I'm going to be sharing today on how to create awareness. I kind of recoiled in horror and kind of some shame. But it was such an important moment for me. I went back and I looked at the photos that I had on my website. And she was absolutely right. In those photos, I was not looking at the camera at all. I did everything, I was looking in every which way in these photos except for at the camera. I definitely was not smiling. And it was like the look was, don't look at me. Don't look at me. And I'm so grateful to this woman for creating that awareness for me. Because it didn't only lead to me getting new photographs for promotional purposes, but it really allowed me to kind of see what was going on in my business as a whole at the time, which was I was like, look at me, don't look at me, look at me, don't, I was in hiding. And I was able to start to shift a lot of different things just from that one moment of creating awareness. So, the ability to support a client in creating awareness stems directly from being a deep and attentive and masterful listener. It's really hard to create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client. It's also hard to create awareness, co-create awareness with a client when you're operating with unchecked filters, right? So just another reason why when we're listening, we want to be checking our filters as much as we can. This isn't always true, but in general, kind of one of my philosophies or approaches with my clients is that I want to create, and in whatever situation we're looking at, I want to create an environment where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we move on to strategizing their actions and what they're going to do next. Every now and again, the flip can show up. Always coach the what based on the who. But in general, I find that the more awareness that we can create, that can help dictate the most aligned strategizing and aligned next steps and actions. So, there are a number of ways that you can create awareness. And I'll just list them quickly here, and we're going to go through all of them over the next two sessions. So, One of them is to ask questions. Actually, questions we're going to mostly get to in our questioning module. We'll do a full module on that, but questions are a great way to create awareness. Reflecting the truth, which we'll be looking at and focusing on today. There are a number of ways of reflecting the truth. We're going to be looking at that today. Another way of creating awareness is consulting, or what I call facting. Acknowledging. And there's two parts to acknowledging: celebrating and honoring what is. We're going to get to that in our next session. And then also personal anecdote and storytelling. That's another way of creating awareness. We'll talk about that probably today. So much of the time, we want to create awareness by asking really good questions. In many cases, this is a preferable way to create awareness, because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own, without being told, but by answering a question, by finding it themselves, it can often make a deeper impression and impact. It can often, not always, but often be taken in more deeply than if it was simply told. For anybody that has been around young children, you probably already know this for yourself. When you tell a kid something, they're less likely to do it than when they figure it out on their own, like put a cold coat on if it's cold. Once they freeze their butts off, they have that inner inquiry, they've found the wisdom themselves, much more likely to be wearing that coat. So oftentimes we want to go with questioning first. But that being said, sometimes the piece of awareness that is wanting to be created is either just so deep in your clients, what they can't see, that questioning might not do the trick. Or sometimes the awareness is something that you, it's like a piece of information that you know, but your client doesn't yet know it because they haven't yet had the experience with it. There's no way that asking a question can get them to it. It's in your expertise, right? And this is where consulting can come in. Or sometimes the awareness is something that is going to be best integrated if the client knows that it's something that you, the practitioner, sees in them. And then, yet other times, you'll just simply feel intuitively that not asking the question, but creating the awareness in a different way, like one of the ways we're going to be looking at, is what's going to make the most impact. So again, we don't want to forget about questioning. A pitfall, and we'll look at this more in our questioning module, but oftentimes practitioners forget to ask questions and they just like do the talking. We want to always remember questioning and use it a lot. But that being said, there are other ways to create awareness. Some of it is also a personal style thing. I ask a lot of questions as a practitioner, but I'm also a very big reflector. I'll reflect back a lot what I'm hearing in very purposeful ways. Okay, so we're going to do a deep dive into one of the types of ways of creating awareness, which is what I call reflecting the truth. Reflecting the truth. So, reflecting the truth is when you share with your client what you're seeing or sensing. It may be based on them and who they are and what they're sharing. And it may be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular experience, in conjunction with what they're sharing with you and what you're hearing. So, examples of reflecting the truth, and this isn't necessarily how to share it, these are just kind of different examples. And again, always coach the what based on the who. This could be questions can lead to this these awarenesses as well. But just to give you some examples to be thinking about, let's say a client is sharing about a situation with her partner, and you really hear through the sharing that she's actually never forgiven her partner for something that happened a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's showing up in how she shows up in the relationship. That might be something that you want to reflect the truth on. Another example, let's say a client says that they want to lose 10 pounds, but from what you're hearing, you're not actually sure that that's the true desire. It sounds like that's what her mother wants, but not her. That could be a moment for reflecting the truth. Maybe you're listening to your client share over one session, or you've started to notice this over like a number of sessions that she tends to be an overgiver and it's really impacting her negatively. That might be something that you want to reflect the truth on. Maybe as you're listening to a client, you see or hear that every time the client accomplishes something, they next thing they go and do something to self-sabotage. That might be something to reflect the truth on. Maybe as you're listening to your client share everything that they want to accomplish, they haven't done these things before, but maybe it's something in your expertise and you see that there's actually not enough time in the day or the week or the month for them to to do all of these things. That comes up sometimes for me, like with business plans, people want to smush 20 different things into one day. But I always want to say like it's possible, right? I don't want to like be a but I know that it would be self-sabotage to set that intention. That might be something to reflect the truth on. So hopefully, as you can see from some of these examples, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the truth that's asking to be to be reflected isn't necessarily an easy one for your client to hear. Similarly to how hearing about my headshots was not so easy for me to hear. So there are a couple of different ways that human beings respond when they're being presented with something that's not so easy to hear. For some folks in some situations, they get it, they hear it, they get it, they understand it immediately, they have a breakthrough, and they integrate it. Yay! But that doesn't always happen because people are people, right? And we're messy. In other moments, one way of responding, or I should say reacting, is that someone might get angry or defensive. Or go into denial about it, or go into self-judgment, or hopelessness, or victimhood, or get confused, or check out. This is why, when you use the skill, and there's a couple of different ways of reflecting the truth, we're gonna go through each one, but this is why, when you reflect a truth, especially a harder truth, you want to be really skilled at it so that your client has the best chances, if it turns out that it is a truth for the client, And we're going to get to that in a little bit. I'm going to talk more about that. But if it turns out that that is a truth, an aligned truth for the client, that your client has the best way of hearing it and understanding it and having a breakthrough awareness around it. So we're going to get in a couple of minutes to the mechanics of all of this. But before we get there, I want to take a little bit of a look at some of the difficulties that a practitioner might have when choosing to reflect the truth. Because the mechanics are pretty simple, it's the inner pieces and the energetics that can make it wonky and detract from a masterful delivery. So one of the biggest pieces that can get in the way is the fear of hurting others, harming others, or others getting angry or upset with us. If that, now again, no myth of perfection. It's not like I've completely gotten rid of any fears of hurting others, harming others, or other people getting angry or upset with, right? We're not talking about that. But we're just talking about being aware of the energetic, right? And slowly working with it over time, but just that awareness so that we're not just reacting in the moment without realizing it. That's what makes so much of a difference. And sometimes even when we've really worked on this stuff, it can still come up. So a great example that I have of this is, this happened a couple of years ago. I had a client who I know very, very well. We've been working together for a long time. She, through our work, she had just become incredibly skilled in regards to creating curriculum. Like she had become a master curriculum creator. That being said, she would still, right before putting together a retreat or putting together a workshop, she would go into this very needy mode and need me to really hold her hand, and she wouldn't trust herself and her ideas, and she felt like she didn't know. And I didn't right away create that awareness for her around what was going on for her. It's because I was scared that she would think that I was abandoning her, or she was scared I would think I didn't have patience for it, or I didn't want to help her in that way, right? That it would hurt her. And so I had to like really be aware of that, work through that myself to get to the next session to be able to create awareness around that. So that fear of hurting others, harming others, having other people get angry, that can be one thing that can hold us back as practitioners reflecting the truth. Reflecting the truth requires bravery. It requires checking our filters. And it also requires so much love and so much compassion. It also requires for us to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. It requires us being comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. Because sometimes when we create awareness in this way, a client can temporarily feel uncomfortable inside of themselves. That's okay. We're not going for comfort all the time. A client may for a moment feel judgmental of themselves, or feel regret, or feel sadness, or feel too seen and vulnerable. There are ways for us to work with this, and there are ways for us to mitigate this. We're going to get to that. But there is still this element of being willing to sit in those uncomfortable shadows with another human being and to hold that space and to love to be with that lovingly and with full presence. I always think that one element of really good coaching is about taking intentional and loving risks. So all of this might sound good, but it's harder to put into practice. So let me ask you a couple of inner work questions on this. Number one, what fears come up for you when you consider sharing a hard truth with someone else? What are some fears that come up for you when you consider sharing a hard truth? Gaia's saying that they won't like me. Heather's saying that the client isn't ready to hear it. And sometimes, right, like that's part of what we're listening for too, because sometimes that can be true. And Amika's saying that the client might get so angry with me that they don't want to work with me anymore, that it might trigger a wound, that the timing is off. What if I'm wrong, seeing it incorrectly? We're going to talk about that because we always actually want to keep the, we don't want to think that we're right. And we're going to, that's an important piece. Client is always right. We're going to get to that. Lauren is saying that they'll get angry, defensive, manipulative, turn it around on me. Yeah. So I ask these questions so that we're aware, right? And we can bring this awareness more when we're with our clients. Here's another question. How often was truth named in your family growing up? How often was truth named in your family growing up? Lisa's saying never. Yeah. Carly Jo is saying rarely, and when it was painful. And Heather is saying never, it was all about the appearance. Zero, never. Nope, never in denial. Yeah, a lot of nevers. Caroline had lunch with her dad today and skirted around it. Avoidance rages in my family, rarely, lots of hiding secrets. Yeah, so Doris is saying not often, and when it happened, it wasn't in a loving way. Funchen is saying too much truth in my hippie upbringing. Yeah, sometimes that happens too. I feel like maybe sometimes that happens in my household now. Sarah also too often, two therapist parents. Or when I did tell truths, I was gaslit about it. Yeah. So, whatever the experience is for you, and hopefully, maybe for some of you, it was just the exact right amount in the exact right way. If it was, yay and yay to your family. But I ask this question because often how the truth was named or not named in our families can really impact us as adults in terms of how we feel about naming it, right? So it's good to be aware of that. And many of you already got to the next question that I was going to ask, which is, how was the truth shared? Was it supportive? Was it not supportive? Just gonna turn a light on. So when it was shared, how was it shared? passive aggressively, gaslighting, yeah, with blame. Natalie's saying, but because I didn't grow up with it, it makes me want to stand stronger for it with others. Beautiful, yes. And Amik says, bluntly. Carly just says, it was only shared when times were desperate. And so it was shared with an air of desperation and stress, disappointment and blaming. Yeah, half-truths. Yeah, gaslighting and blame, right? So it's good to be aware of this and then how this impacts us. Here's another question. Some of you started answering this one. When you told the truth, if you ever told the truth with family members or others in your life, how did they take it in? How did they receive it? How did they respond? Did they respond or react? So, what were the responses or reactions when you spoke your truth? Natalie says, I was made wrong for sharing the truth. Carly Jo says, my mom always gaslit me and got mad at me. It was all my fault. Turned around on me. Lisa says, you're selfish. Yes, or with violence. Yeah. Denial. I was the problem. Yeah. A lot of reactivity. Everything was fine until you came home. Yeah. Defensiveness. Taken as an act of aggression. Sarah's saying psychologist parents, especially dad, felt that we children had to be over 21. Oh, I just missed it. To even know what the truth was. They slowly evolved in their appreciation of our perspectives. Michelle was made an outcast for it. Yeah. All right, let me pause here. What's feeling important about all of this for you? What are you seeing that feels important in general or when it comes to sharing the truth for you now? I'd love to hear one or two shares. Carly Joe.
Hi. Yeah, this was it's interesting for me because what I first recognized was that the emotions that come up when I do share truths with clients in this way are like on a logical level, I'm like, okay, I can do this and I work through it. But in the body feeling level, it takes me back to like a couple of really bad previous romantic relationships I've been in. And I just hadn't drawn that connection before that, like, oh, that's where those, that like truth telling fear is coming from, is those past relationships, which, you know, those are also connected to inner child, all of that stuff. But it just was interesting to see how those dynamics are still very much present in my body, even though I've worked through them in my brain.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you made that connection. And the next time that comes up, remember back to this, right? Like, even in client session, just for a moment, be like, oh, that's actually not about what's in front of me right now. That's about the then and there, not the here and now. And see if that helps with the
Yeah,
work.
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Natalie.
Yeah, it's interesting to see people's responses about this. Yeah, my family was it's the opposite of truth telling. So, like I said in the chat, I feel like it's made me as a very older adult much more advocate for truth. Like I even used to put in my social media, like I'm a truth seeker. Like before I knew what I was doing in this phase of my life, it was like I was just for the truth. But interestingly, so with clients, I find that this is something I tend to do a lot because I stand for it and I'm not afraid of it. But there are times if the client, because like I think my containers are pretty good, the clients usually are receptive, but when there's a chance, when there's a time when they're not as trusting, or it's in the beginning, and I have had that happen when the client gets defensive, then I get like all these feelings, right? Like of what? Of maybe I got it wrong, or what am I, who am I to say these, you know, like I get back into that old childhood wounded self of myself, version of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna talk about different ways of sharing it, depending on the situation. And I think that just will be helpful in general. And also, I'm so glad this awareness is coming up for you, because now when should it come up and that defensiveness comes up, you're going to be able to create some separation from it, just from these awarenesses that are coming through. Good. Angie.
Yeah, there's a few things running through my awareness. The first, in answer to the question about like, what are we seeing in everybody's responses? And I think for me, at least, it feels as though everything that we're putting out there of how we experienced it as children is how we're going to be afraid of experiencing it with our clients. And it's interesting for me, because I think I've done some work around difficult and crucial conversations. I've taught classes on the book. It's, you know, it's really, it's good to have that. And it's, in a lot of ways, easier still for me to employ it in my client situations than it is in my family of origin.
Yeah.
And I am facing a situation where I'm in some pretty deep work right now for myself personally around family of origin stuff. And my parents are coming out for a week this Wednesday and staying with me and my son in my very small house. And I'm just really, these things are very present with me right now. And I know that this time I'm really hoping to hold a lot of space for myself, and also like not having the reactions that I received as a child. And so it's just a really interesting thing that we can, even with clients, continue to overcome some of those things and work, you know, like when we get to the mechanics, that will be very helpful. But how to personalize it in our own lives and in our lived experience with our loved ones still feels really tricky to me sometimes.
Agreed, 100%. I feel like with clients, I've come such a long way, and it's so much easier. Even with family, for me, it's friendships. That's where it's hard. So yeah, it's interesting to see in which relationships, and sometimes it's about the personality of that person, if they remind you of someone else, right? I love your intention and commitment for your family trip, Angie. I just really want to acknowledge that. And if you haven't already done this, I'll just toss it to you if it resonates. Just take a couple of minutes to think about what is the truth that you want to come back to throughout the week, no matter how anybody reacts or responds to anything. Like, what is it that you want to come back to and remember as a touch point through that?
Thank you. I'm going to take that note.
Thank you. Okay. So let's talk about how to reflect the truth. I'm going to share a couple different ways. Before I get to each of the different ways, there's some foundational pieces for all of them. So let's look at those foundational pieces first. The first is, we don't want to like just reflect the truth on anything. And what I have found is a good question to keep in mind for myself that lets me know what to reflect on is this: what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or results? I'll put that in the chat. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or results? As I say that out loud, I don't even love that language, even though I've been sharing this language for years. I don't love shortcut, but you know, maybe it's just that would create a bridge to their growth our results. another kind of background foundational piece before we get to the reflecting itself. Always check in with your inner wisdom on whether a client is ready for that awareness or to consider that awareness. And this isn't a perfect science. You know, sometimes we don't know definitively, but some good things that will help let us know if it's the right moment. Number one, what is the client's mood today, right? If they're just really raw about something, or they've had a hard time, or whatever, it may not be the right session for it. Do they have a history of being really defensive? If so, you may want to rely more on questions versus a reflecting the truth strategy. Gaia, which part did you want me to repeat?
Where you said, always check in with your inner wisdom. Then you said something after that.
Yeah, Angie shared it for me in the chat as to whether a client is ready to hear.
Thank you.
So even if it's like the best reflection in the world, if it's not the right moment for the client, it is not the right moment for that reflection. Next piece, foundational piece here, so important. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be wrong. It's perfectly okay to be wrong. I just wish I could say that over and over and over and over and over again. And as you'll see in some of the strategies that I'm going to share, you're going to leave open the option to be wrong. Because again, your client's wisdom trumps everything else. Just because you see it and you think it might be a truth, it doesn't mean that it actually is. The other thing is, when you're willing to be wrong and it's just like fine and normal to be wrong as a practitioner, you have less of the fear of sharing what you might be seeing and sensing. Like, then the ego isn't there, right? So there may be some inner work for you to do around this. Do you believe that you have to be right all the time? Do you believe that you can be good enough if you're not right all the time? I have to say, like, one of the many, many, many learnings that, and I think personal evolutions that I've had just being a practitioner all this time is like, I don't need to be right anymore. You know, like I am free. I mean, every now and again, right? It comes up, but like in general, I'm just free of that. Some other foundational pieces. Julie, did you have a question or something that you wanted to add to that?
Just really quick, I was noticing as you're going through all of these foundational pieces and examples, something I'm aware of is I have a tendency to frame questions and reflections with "I wonder if," like in response to something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's it's like a defense mechanism that I use to protect myself against the potential. I mean, I think I'm really comfortable with being wrong, but it's this way that I want to say couch the inquiry with whether it's a client or a friend. It's like, I'll say, I wonder if, or I'm curious. And I know we've talked a lot about the value of curiosity, and I'm using that a lot lately, I notice.
Yeah.
It feels so, like it's going to create a buffer around maybe my own uncertainty.
Yeah. So that may be true. However, from the outside, so long as you're not delivering it with an energy of fear, it's actually a beautiful way and an example of a way to allow agency for a client while exploring, is this a truth here? So you may want to work on some of the like feelings if there's fear or defensiveness, but in terms of the language itself, it's beautiful and really constructive and fits into one of the ways that we're going to look at reflecting the truth. So that's right on track.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, just a couple other foundational pieces. As you go to create awareness around a truth, reconnect to your love of your client and to the knowing and trust that they are whole and complete exactly as they are. That will make so much of a difference in your delivery and in the energetics. And then last foundational piece here, back to the equal playing field, right? It is, you just wanna like in general in the container have that equal playing field, because in this case of reflecting a truth, if it's skewed to where you think your client is better than you, you may not necessarily have the confidence and the courage to share. If it's skewed to where you think that you're better than your client, you run the risk of disempowering your client. And I'll just share a story that I have with this, because it's just like, it's such a great story that depicts this. Many years ago, I was a participant in one of those three-day live events. Someone on my team at the time had an extra ticket, and it was something that was really close by to my home, and she said, come, this guy is great, you'll learn so much from him. And it's like, all right, I'll come, whatever. And so I was at this three-day event, and the teacher, the coach, whatever he was talking about time and how to create more time. And I was sitting there in the audience, and I really wanted a breakthrough around time. At that time in my life, both of my kids were much younger, and I was like knee deep into the like all of the parenting of younger children. And I also had a very busy business, but I always felt like I couldn't, it was hard to create more time for my business because of all of the ways that I wanted to show up as a mother. And so I really wanted a breakthrough, and I had this like intuition not to, you know, at those events you stand up and you speak at the mic and you ask your question. And like, I had this intuition not to do it, but I was like, no, I want to get something here. And so I got up and I shared my situation, and the guy on the stage looked straight at me and he said, you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you don't like your work enough. So my suggestion for you is to figure out a deeper passion for your work. Now, I really wanted a breakthrough. And so even as the words were coming at me and I was starting to like feel this shame and all, there was a part of me that knew it was BS, but I was like, I really want the breakthrough here, you know? And so I tried to explain more, you know? And he was just like, come back when you're willing to see this. I never came back. I walked straight out of that room. It was only the second day, the middle of the second day. And I never came back, right? So, but that's an example of there was not an equal playing field there. That practitioner thought that he knew best. He wasn't checking his filters. I don't know if he ever had small kids or parented small, or, you know, any of that. He clearly wasn't checking his filters, was not listening, and just decided that this was my truth. This is not what we're doing when we reflect the truth. So how do we do it? Well, there are a couple of different ways that I want to share with you. The first I call slow and steady. Slow and steady. So there's three steps to slow and steady. And by the way, you'll have resource sheets with all of this written out for you and language and all of that. Number one, first step, ask permission. Get permission to share what you're seeing. So that might sound something like this. There's something I'm noticing about what you've been sharing that you may or may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? Right? Or there's something I'm seeing here that I'm not sure if you're seeing, but can I share it with you? Right? So whatever the language is there, but number one, ask permission. This step alone helps to mitigate defensiveness or like it not landing the right way or whatever it is, because you're getting the green light from the client to hear more. Step two is all about sharing what you're seeing, but in a way where you're willing to be wrong and you're leaving your client's wisdom trumps everything else. So step two might sound something like this. And by the way, Julie, this is kind of similar, just a different way of, different kind of languaging of what you were sharing before. I may not be getting this right, and I trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know if this resonates. I've noticed that X, right? And then you share whatever the X is. I've noticed that you tend to self-sabotage every time you have a success. I've noticed that you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, it's like you lose all of your thinking, right? Whatever it is. I've noticed X. Am I getting that right? Those are the magic words in this approach. So I may not be getting this right, and I trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know. I've noticed X, you share the truth. Am I getting that right? So this way, there is such an equal playing field. There is love and respect for the client. You're willing to be wrong, and it's about creating awareness. But the client can decide, is this my truth, right? Is this my truth? Now, sometimes the client might be like, no, I don't think you're getting that right. That's awesome too, because that's going to lead them to like, but what I think it is, right? And then there's going to be a truth and a creating awareness and a breakthrough through that. From there, you'll follow up, whether it resonates or doesn't resonate, you know, and they come up with it, then you follow up with deeper questions about it. All right, so that's one way of reflecting a harder truth, slow and steady. Any questions? We still got a bunch of other ways to look at, but any questions on this one or anything that you want to share, anything that's sparking for you around this or anything that you're noticing around this?
Did you say the three steps? You said
so. Step one is ask permission.
Yes.
Step two is sharing it. Yes. You know, with some of the language that I shared, and then step three is you're going to follow up with some deeper questions. You're looking more. Okay, now this.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any questions or what are you seeing in this that's feeling important to you? What are you noticing? Natalie.
Sorry,
Natalie, and then Gaia.
So I have a question actually. So sometimes, and tell me if this sounds, I don't know. So one of the ways I ensure that equal playing field, Johanna, and it's something I do, like I do it a lot, but I don't know if I need to be doing it that much, but like I might pop in a story about myself where I dealt with this.
You're getting that next. That's the next. Okay. You're on track.
But here's the question. So my question was, I think I combined those two things. Is that okay?
Absolutely. You can absolutely mix and match from any of these.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. And we're going to get there in like 1 minute. Gaia.
It's really easy. I just want to say, I think it's brilliant about asking permission to share what you're seeing, because I usually just tell them. And so I'm working, I've worked with the inner wisdom of, is this the right time? And I'm doing that a lot for a while, but I just want to tell you what I see. But I just absolutely love this, that you could just step back and ask permission. That is like off the chart brilliant to me. I love it.
I'm so glad it's resonating. And yeah. We'll look at some other ways, and some of the other ways I share, you may not ask permission for, you know, it's always coach the what based on the who and what feels important in that moment for the
in that moment.
I'm glad
yes.
you have this in your toolbox now.
Yes, but I just never thought of this as a tool. Because yeah. I guess because I think I know what's happening right now. I see what's happening right now, but then it would be nice to ask, because you might even see it too, but you're not ready to say what's happening right now. You see? And then I pick it up, like I just quickly, I told a woman yesterday walking for a walk, and she had polio when she was very young. And she got the vaccine, but they found out it wasn't actually polio when she was a baby. It was from the vaccine. Later on, that's what it was. So she said, yeah, I think it was the vaccine. And everything she said to me, I knew it was the vaccine. It was just, and I said, you think it was? She goes, yeah, it was the vaccine. But I was like, you know, you think, like, stop saying you think it was. Mm-hmm. But you know that kind of way, just like, just get with the truth. So just relax and let the clients come to it on their own kind of. You know what I mean? Just be more.
Yeah, and that's very much the slow and steady way. We will get to another one that I called bold and beautiful, which you can use in certain moments.
Ooh, bold and beautiful.
Which sounds like more your style. So we'll get there. Awesome. Okay, so here's another way to reflect our truth. Natalie set us up perfectly for it. It's a personal anecdote way. So personal anecdote is just basically a short, we don't want it to be too long, a short story about ourselves that when used in the right moment, only the right moment, we just don't want to be like blabbing about ourselves, right? Similar to the anecdote I shared about the 3-day event, right? When it in the right moment, it can just be so powerful. I will only share personal anecdote if, number one, if I've already fully worked through the situation that I'm about to share. If I haven't worked through it, probably not a good anecdote to share, because there'll be unchecked filters all over it. And I don't do it all the time. Again, it's like really like this is just the perfect story that will create awareness here. So when you go to share a personal anecdote, I always like to ask permission before I share, you know, one-on-one before I share, because or else a client might be like, oh, she's wasting my time with her story, you know. So and a client might feel that way, which is fine. So I might say something like, you know, your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Would it be okay if I shared it quickly? I think it would be really beneficial for your learning. But I do like to get that permission, because or else sometimes some certain people can go into like, we only have 45 minutes here. Why are we talking about herself? So get the permission. Share the story. Briefly, only the most important points that will create like the zingers of awareness for the client. And then from there, ask, how might this relate to your situation? Or what feels applicable here for you? Or if it doesn't feel applicable, let me know. I could be off here, right? So still even leaving open the possibility that they didn't resonate with that. So that's personal anecdote. Any thoughts or questions on that one? And Lisa said in the chat, for the slow and steady, you're noticing the differences between what I shared and then the what's wrong with you. It's why, yeah, we never want to start anything. You know what your problem is. Anything that wants to be shared or asked on the personal anecdote piece. All right, a couple other ways. Next way is, it's, I don't know what to call this one, half reflecting, half questioning. And so this one is a little more direct. And in this way of reflecting a truth, you're gonna introduce language into your questioning that a client hasn't yet used, but it's that language that's creating a truth, that's reflecting a truth, possibly. This one is a little bit more bold and direct. So, for example, let's say you've got a client that's sharing with you that they're working, they don't want to, but they're working all the time. And it's affecting their life and their relationships and their well-being and all the things. Here's a question, a reflecting, a, an example of a reflecting the truth question. When did you decide that you were going to risk everything in your life, even your health, for your work? That's kind of confronting, right? Or it can be. For the right client in the right moment, it can be really, really powerful. So again, introducing language or an idea into a question that the client hasn't yet used as a way of that. Now, even in a question like that, by the way, like, client has agency, right? So if you've got a tight container, if you have an equal playing field, if there is love and trust and vulnerability in the container, and you ask that question and it just does not resonate for the client, they will say, you know, they will let you know, I don't think I've risked everything. They may let you know that, right? In which case, client is always right. You know, so then what is going on here, right? Always be willing to be wrong. If they don't say it, but you're using all of your listening skills and you hear that they're heard or it doesn't, you'll hear it in their energy if it doesn't quite land for them. Don't gloss over that. Ask, like, did that, I'm thinking that maybe I didn't get that right. You know, and I don't get things right a lot of the time. Like, you can say that too, right? How did that question land for you? And then we're working our way to the kind of the most direct. So this way, I call bold and beautiful. This very direct way, I have found, works best if you have a very tight container, if you have a lot of trust with your client, and if it's on a day and a moment that it, like, your client can take it. Now, being bold does not mean that there isn't so much love and utter respect in the delivery. The energy is bar none. But some examples of bold, and these are just some examples, really. There's so many. But for example, sometimes with a client, I'll say, my BS detector is going off right now, right? Like, I'll just say that. And I'll say it just the way I just said it, with like love, but like a little bit of humor in my voice, you know? And again, client can be like, no, you're wrong. Like, that's fine too. Sometimes I might be like, really? Are you sure? Like, what, you know, whatever it is that you just said, are you sure that's true? You know? So like, I'll bring some humor sometimes into the bold and beautiful too, to kind of cut it. Not always, like sometimes it's just a boom, you know? But the energy of the delivery is so important there. Natalie's saying, I'm not buying this one. Yeah, that's another great, I'm not buying this one. You know? Do you really believe that? I think that's similar to what Gaia shared before. Really? Right? Okay, so let me pause here. Any questions or thoughts sparking around any of these ways of reflecting the truth? What's feeling important as we're looking at these? I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What are you seeing? What's feeling important? Heather.
I think for me, the method that kind of resonates the most with me is introducing that new language to the client, especially if I'm working with someone who, you know, isn't in touch with their body as much as I am. And so, you know, introducing that new language of body sensations, you know, is something tight, is something soft,
yeah,
scratchy, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I would also, for you and for all of us, like, we each have a one way where we gravitate to more than others. Like, I tend to be a slow and steadier, but at the same time, like, I want to encourage everybody to consider there's a right time for each of them depending on the situation. Yeah, good. Anna.
I was kind of going in that direction too for myself. I was seeing how I tend to be kind of loose and free, you know, and how really keeping in mind all these different ways, you know, to slow down a little bit, to listen, and to have different ways of, you know, just keeping myself present rather than just the most comfortable way.
I love how you phrase that. You will always know the aligned way when you keep yourself present instead of just defaulting into what's comfortable. Your listening skills are so important here, to know which way. And also to say, more than one road leads to Rome. Like, it's not that there's, you know, coaching is an art, not a science. There might be more than one way in the moment that's a beautiful way for the client too, but that presence and that willingness will lead you to the place that's right. And again, and you may be wrong, and that's right too. Good. Natalie.
Yeah, I piggybacking a little bit on what Anna just shared. So much depends on the context, the client, the way you are in that relationship with the client, right? So depending on all those different factors, one of these ways may work better than the other. And then the other thing is, like, your personality. Like, my personality is pretty much leans towards direct. I'm just direct. It's that Caribbean thing, you know? And I would actually sometimes start out, before a client starts, I'll say, just know I'm very direct, because it's just like, I can't contain, that's just part of my personality and what I bring. So I am probably not as much the slow and steadier, but again, depending on that client and that context, it's good to be aware that I can choose how to bring truth and awareness to that client, and not, but to what Anna said, like, not necessarily lean on my natural default to be more direct about it.
Yeah. Right. There's a difference between leaning on your default versus honoring your personality. the honoring your personality piece is so important. Like, I've had people sometimes when I, in this class, when I share it, you know, once or twice, I've had people be like, I would never do slow and steady. It is inauthentic to who I am. I am just a straight shooter. And like, that's truly in the way that I shared it, that just might be completely inauthentic for that person. But so then in a right moment where it needs to be slower, modulate it so that it's still authentic to your personality, but you're taking it at the pace that the client needs.
That's really good, Joanna, because the authentic part is so huge for me. Like, I would hate to try to be this goody coach, and then it's like, I don't even feel like I'm myself right now. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I'm so glad you're bringing it. Absolutely. So it's not about twist yourself into a pretzel and do something that's inauthentic. It's like, know all of these tools are there for you, and then use them in a way that is authentic to you and your personality. Yeah. Good. All right, we have a couple of minutes left. I'd love to just continue to hear some shares. What are you taking away from our call today? What's feeling important?
I'll just jump in real quick. I really love that you emphasized the point that coaching is an art, not a science. And what I keep just observing and being so inspired by in what you're sharing, as well as the examples you give, is just like that whole, just the fluidity in the exchange with clients, and also the consistent emphasis that you seem to place upon really giving, I want to say giving the power back, but really giving agency back to the client and letting, like really setting that framework for the fact that the work together is for them and about them, and leaning upon like the willingness to be wrong is really critical. So it's like, I just love seeing the layering of all of these principles that you're sharing and how they lead to that. Well, you have to create the tight container, but these tools inherently
they support that.
Yeah, support that. That's, I guess, the perfect word. So I just am loving the integration and integrated nature of all of these layers.
Good. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, and the allowing for the client's agency, always so important. And then I love the word that you used, fluidity. When you're willing to be wrong, and when you're not attached to it, to any outcome other than the client finding their truth and moving forward with their truth, then there can be that fluidity. Like, oh, that didn't land. So what the, right? Like it doesn't, you don't have to stay in that one. This is how it is kind of thing. Good. Anna.
I just wanted to out myself one more layer on my personal style, because what I'm seeing is I can get really curious, right? Like, my thing is I want to get to the bottom of it. And so I tend to like, what about this? Or maybe it's this, you know, like having my own like thinking out loud. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to keep that in mind for myself and out that.
I'm so glad. That's huge. Like, it's such a big thing to become aware of. And I'm glad you're also outing yourself. Love that you're curious. Like, that curiosity is going to support your client work so much. And that being said, like you're saying, watch how the curiosity is coming out. And also, watch that you're not just trying to find solutions for a client. We'll get more into that, because that can also lead to this, that, and the other thing. As well as with curiosity, and I think we looked at this when we were looking at curiosity in our second week, always be tracking yourself for, is this curiosity gonna support my client to what they said they wanted to receive in this session? Or is this just because I'm really curious?
Exactly. Right? That is me to a T. It's like, okay, stay focused. It's not about me.
Good. Lisa saying in the chat, I find it very grounding and calming to have gone through these pieces, which will help me expand my palette of energies in my client work. I'm so glad, Lisa. Guy is saying, I love the ways of reflecting the truth, especially checking in with your inner wisdom in the moment. Yes, you are a bold and beautiful and personal anecdote, but you've got some other pieces here and choices. Good. All right, everyone. Well, I'm excited for you to play with this. If you are working with a partner for this week's partner session, practice reflecting truths, hard ones. We didn't get to simple reflecting and mirroring. We'll get to that next week, but just for now, also practice sharing what you heard. That's really, really helpful. As you do it, use your listening skills, all of your listening skills, all of your energetics. And remember the question that we looked at, what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut or a bridge to their growth or results? And have that lead you to what you reflect and share. All right, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.